Hey, Rock'em and what's that? Rock'em and sock'em or rack'em and stack'em, whatever we're doing.
Rock'em, sock'em, rack'em, stack'em, whatever it takes, right?
That was a great. Do you ever have those little robot things that like you punch at each other and you kind of run the little handles?
Of course. I love them. That's one of those games that's kind of gone the way of the dodo, like toss across and battleship. But that's okay.
That's right. I see you got a Batman. You got the Batman sign behind you, though. That's pretty cool.
I've got lots of Batman stuff behind me. We were just talking about that with our next guest. He said that he had one of his cars took all the logos off and replaced them with bat signals. So I thought that was perfect. Pretty cool.
That is cool. So, well, look, hey, we're just loving what we're doing what we love, buddy. Another number three of our racket stack today. So, you know, unless you want to talk about, I don't know, the meaning of life or something, which we could, but we have over a Dr. Pepper once, I think. But
I think we have probably a couple of them.
We may have. But let's go talk to Chuck. That might be like ever so much more interesting.
I would like, you messed up already, Randy. Okay. It's Chuck the Great.
Well, that's true. Chuck the Great.
Okay. But okay.
Okay. Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen, stand by, pull up your belt, cinch your galoshes. You know galoshes? You ever heard of galoshes? Anyways, buckle up your four buckle arctics for Chuck the Great. Huh? How's that?
All right.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt. Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins. Now, let's get to the show.
There he is, one and only Chuck the Great. Huh? How's that?
Hey, Randy, that's perfect.
Yeah. I almost said that with conviction, too. It's like, you know, like almost like I meant it or something, you know. How you doing, brother? Everything good?
Living life, loving life, and the sunshine on the other side of these clouds.
There you go, buddy. There you go, buddy. So tell us before we get started, where in the heck are you? Where are you at? And give us the story of Chuck the Great Studebaker.
I don't know how much time you got. So I'm right now in Athens, Georgia. I live in a little town called Monroe. It's about halfway between Atlanta and Athens. Love living in the country. So my story is a simple one. I actually got into the car business back in 1991, and I've done everything that you can do. And through that, you know, from then till now, I'm the branch manager for a finance company. So I'm still in the car business, still working with that stuff every day. But I spent 18 years at Saturn. I was one of the first three salespeople they hired at the dealership where I started, and got an opportunity to be a general manager back in 97 here in Atlanta. And I took it. Couldn't pass it up. And so when the Saturn experiment failed, I had to remake myself a few dozen times, which I've done. But that's my thing. I'm you know, at my heart, I'm a sales and marketing guy. And really inspiring people is something that I really enjoy doing.
Well, and two things. You got a great name for the car business. I almost think that was, you made that up and that's not really a real name. I mean, that's how cool that is. I mean, come on.
Well, and here's the thing though, if I was going to make something up, I might make up something a little more, modern, because unfortunately, it's only old guys like us who are going to know what a Studebaker was.
That's true. You could have won a Fairlane too, I suppose, but you know,
that's true. I had a mother daughter that I was working with a long time ago, and introduced myself and used my last name, and they both kind of perked up. And mom says, "Well, that's really cool. He's got the name like the car." And the daughter says, "No, he's got the name like the bar." So,
like the
different
bar.
Generations. There was a bar. There was a bar called Studebaker. They had one in Myrtle Beach. There was maybe one in Florida. I know there was one in Atlanta for a while. But that was what they both knew.
Wow. But they knew, one knew that as the car and one was the bar. Generational, right? That's awesome.
Exactly.
That's cool.
Exactly.
That's cool. Well, hey, you know, it's where I first, you and I first connected was because of your daily, if not more often, inspirational, motivational posts. And I'm always very attracted to those things. I like motivation. I like inspiration. I like that kind of stuff. And so, you know, you really caught my attention, and I'm glad that we've been able to connect and become at least virtual friends at this point. But I've been known to wander into areas, and if I do, I look up people. So you never know. I actually was in Atlanta 2 weeks ago. So not too far from me, a couple hours, maybe, or less, hour and a half. But
I can be to Atlanta in an hour on a good day, but most days Atlanta traffic isn't good.
Yeah.
So what you've seen me do, and you've seen that across lots of different social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, mm-hmm. LinkedIn, and TikTok. I know I'm kind of old for a TikTok guy, but I make it work.
What do you do?
It was a little over 6 years ago. I was listening to a motivational speaker. He was doing a sales presentation, actually from back in 2012, that I was watching on YouTube. And one of the things he talked about was all of these social media platforms and the fact that it's a way to get your brand, whatever your brand is, out there. And they're all free. And that's what really piqued my interest. I said, oh, free. Chuck likes free. I tried to figure out what I could do. And, you know, you and I both know that the social media is awash in negativity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like the mainstream media. If it's not bad news, it's not news. Right. And I thought, okay, what can I do to be different? What can I do to set myself apart? And so I started posting. This was been in June of, was it 6 years ago? Was it 8 years ago? It was 8 years ago. Sorry. I started posting like in June of that year, Monday through Friday, and wasn't thinking there were people that only looked at their social media on the weekends. And what I found was, and so I at the end of June, we took a vacation and I was completely off social media. So when I get back, I've got all these messages from people saying, are you okay? Is everything all right? They'd already gotten used to seeing my stuff.
That's awesome.
So at that point, I started doing it every day. Back just a couple of months ago, it was 3,000 days in a row that I'd done it.
Wow. That's impressive.
And I do it every day. I do it the same quote across all the platforms. I did it as much for myself as anybody else. How do I keep myself motivated? How do I keep myself getting out of bed in the morning? I don't necessarily know when I get up in the morning what my quote that day is going to be. Sometimes I'll write notes down during the week or maybe I see something last night and I go, and I'll write down that word. And then I'll just kind of meditate on that word when I get up. And whether it was vacations or bouts with COVID or whatever, I've posted every day. And I've been, I had teacher when my kids were still in school. I had teachers of theirs that I was friends with. And they would make my kids get up and read my quotes in class.
Oh, really? Which that's awesome.
Irritated the snot out of my kids.
I'll bet.
Like, Dad, come on. And my youngest son is a firefighter in Gwinnett County here in Georgia. And about 2 weeks ago, he texted me. He's like, hey, where do you have all of your quotes? And I'm like, and so I listed all of them off. He goes, okay, thanks. I said, what are you doing? He goes, some of the guys at the station wanted to read them. So there, you know, he's doing his part for me.
Good. Well, that's awesome. Well, and like I said, I first started seeing him, and then I saw, like you said, I saw him every day, and I said, okay, this is a guy I got to know, because you're 100% right. I'm all about positivity, I'd have to think back to be sure that I'm not misspeaking, but it's very seldom, if any, have I ever posted anything that's not pretty positive in nature. Because like you said, we have a lot of negative in life, enough negative going on, I should say. And you're building a brand around Chuck that regardless of what you want to do, you're in finance now, you're involved with cars still, but the brand of Chuck and that's what I really love. Is I love the theory, the idea of brand ambassadors. Phew, easy for me to say, brand ambassadorship. I usually say that better after I have a couple of Dr. Peppers, but or sounds better to me anyway. But I do love the concept of presenting positive out there, because people want to hear that. They want to, that's who they want to deal with, right? And your profession that you're in right now, people don't want to deal with a bunch of negative people. They want to deal with positive people, and people that you've worked with or that work for you, they expect and need to see that same thing, right?
Oh, absolutely. And like I said, there's enough negativity out there. Day in and down. We just got through several years of negativity, that was covering up our TV screens for a while. So being able to do that makes a difference for me. And I'm, you know, my hope is, like with you, that it makes a difference for other people as well.
Exactly. And if that's what we set out to do every day, you know, we're doing our part, whatever small part it is. The reality is, I try to remind myself of this. Even on days when you're having a crappier day or you're just irritated with things, you know, the person that you grab the door for at the supermarket and you say, hey, have a blessed day or have a great day or, you know, whatever, that might be the only decent contact they had with anybody for a long period of time sometimes. With us that are blessed to have good people in our lives, most of our, you know, we get a fair amount of positive every day, right? Even when there's some negative mixed in. But there's a lot of people out there walking around that don't get any, right? And if we can give them just a little bit now and then, I think that's a win, right?
Yeah. Well, and I'm going to say something. I had promised myself I wasn't going to tell anybody this, because you do good because you want to do good. You don't do good because you want something in return. But this was a really simple thing. I made the mistake of going to Burger King, so fault me for that. I'm sitting there and I'm watching this guy walk in, and he's got one of those, you know, multi-wheeled walkers, and he places his order and he's walking back to his table. And I see he's holding his cup and he's trying to hold himself up. And so as he's kind of shuffling by me, I said, can I help you with your drink? He goes, oh, that'd be great. Thanks. So I got up and I you know, got him his Dr. Pepper, and he went and sat down. I took him his cup and I had heard him say his name when he placed his order. So when I heard them call his name, I glanced over to him and he was starting to move. And I said, stay put. Let me get it. I just went and grabbed the guy's sack of food and brought it to him. Mm-hmm. I wasn't looking for recognition, and nor did I get any. He said, thank you. And that was enough. But that was it, holding the door for somebody, saying have a great day, whatever that is. Life's too short.
Yes.
There's enough people walking around with a cloud over their head. Let's just try to make a difference today for somebody.
Right. No, well said. And you know, it's funny. So as you well know, the name of our podcast here is Building Wins Live, and Building Wins, and that had the original purpose, probably, to be brutally honest, was because I'm I rep a manufacturer in the building materials world. And so building made sense, but very quickly in Wes and I determined that it's more than just that. That fits that, but we're all about guests that are building wins every day. And wins can be business or sales wins. They can be personal wins, health and fitness wins, spiritual wins. It doesn't matter what the win is. Wins are just wins. And I'm a big believer, a theory I try to live by, is I keep a virtual win pile. And I see it in my mind, this little a stand, like a little end table, right? And I it's almost like the stands in an hourglass, upside down, right? I guess, well, the right side up, I guess. And basically just keep throwing the wins on it. You know, I literally see myself throwing a win on it, and it could be a small win, a big win, a medium win. It could be any of the types of wins. And the more wins you throw on the win pile, you just find yourself in a quote winning mindset. And again, that has nothing to do with just going out and getting a sale. It may have to just, like you said, helping some guy get his bag of food. Every one of those is a win. And I'm also a believer that I think wins compound with each other. And I don't think they care what size or what type of win they are. I think a big win or a little win all means the same to the win pile, right? And so I just keep, I just believe and keep throwing them on.
Yeah, a win is a win. One of the things that you and I both old enough to remember when they outlawed all celebrations in the end zone, mm-hmm. when somebody scored,
right?
And you remember Mark Gastineau, who would do the sack dance.
Yes, I forgot about that, but yes.
We've come full circle now. Not only are you allowed to do a celebration, you can like have a plan for when you score. Mm-hmm. You know, you pretend you're rolling a ball and you're knocking down 10 players, and that's your scoring. it's a strike.
Right.
You know, and you see a guy that makes a tackle, and that he may not do anything the rest of the game, but by golly, he's going to celebrate that tackle.
Yep. And I think, you know, as long as you don't let things, sometimes football things have probably got slightly out of control at times. I suppose there's a limit to everything. But I'm not against some celebration. I know the old school theory, and there's something to be said for this, and I can be a bit old school at times still, that act like you belong there, right? Act like you intended to be there. And I understand and agree with that. But I also understand that your goal in that particular case was to score a touchdown, right? That every time you get the ball, the goal is to score a touchdown. So to celebrate that win, to me, makes sense. Because why would you just not celebrate? You should be excited about it. You should celebrate. You should celebrate it with your teammate. You should smack the guy that made the big block at the end on the butt and smack him in the helmet and, you know, jump in his arms. And there's nothing wrong with celebrating some of that stuff, I think. I think celebrating wins is good. I think we were meant to win. You know, I think we were designed to be win builders, right? That's what I believe. So,
yeah, no, that's ideal. I'm probably going to steal win builders from you.
Do that. It's free for now. I may charge someday until then. That it is good though. I mean, it's you get up every day and be a win builder, whatever that win is. And it could be small, it could be big, but and again, like I said, that's what I enjoy about what you're doing. And so talk to me as a general manager. You've got a lot of responsibility, right? To make sure your team, your people, love what they do and do what they love every day, right? Because that's important to be motivated and to be fired up to come into work and fired up to take care of business, fired up to take care of customers, whatever the case may be. So that's a pretty valuable characteristic to have, to be somebody that understands that concept of building wins with your team every day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, everybody on the team, and let's go back to the football analogy, everybody on the team doesn't get score a touchdown.
Right.
There are lots of people that have to do their job for that touchdown to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All the way, and I turn this around on purpose, all the way up to the water boy.
Correct.
You know, everybody on that team, everybody part of that organization makes a difference, and they all have to be, you got to use whatever analogy you want. You got to be rowing the same direction. You got to be running right. The same direction. Everybody's got to, you know, everybody's got to be on the same play. You know, they've all got those things on their wrist now that tell them what play they're going to do.
Right.
Can you imagine if somebody had theirs upside down?
Yeah.
You know, because I think that happens a lot. That happens a lot in organizations. You know, you got the coach saying, okay, we're going to do a 1A play. And the quarterback says, gotcha, coach. We're doing the 1B. And then the guy on the end of the line says, so the 2C is what we're doing. And all of a sudden, you know, they take a 20-yard loss. And I think that's true in any organization. You've got to have the people that – everybody's got to be working out of the same playbook.
So interesting when you say that, because what you're really attempting to do, I think, is you're building a culture. You know, right, there's got to be a culture within any team or business organization – a culture of a culture of winning, for lack of a better word, a culture of doing things the right way. And it typically starts at the top and works its way down. And there has to be that culture where everybody's pulling in the same direction. Everybody's fired up and excited about being there, because you're right. The football analogy is a great one, Chuck. The linemen do a lot of work and seldom get any recognition. I mean, you know, everybody knows the tailback and the quarterback and the wide receiver, right? But not everybody knows the left guard, right? But many times, because of the left guard pulled and made the perfect block, is the only reason the star tailback scored, right? And so if you develop that winning attitude that permeates the whole organization, everybody takes part in that win, not just the guy that scored the touchdown, right? And that's why you see I really love to see the quality individuals that make sure to go over and high five and slap the helmet of and pat and smack the guys that did it for him on the butt, right? Because they know that without that, they would not be getting all of the recognition that they would. So I think that works in all businesses, right? I mean, making sure that the business is clean and looks professional as the custodial staff is probably not as glamorous as being in your business, you know, being the World of Automobiles, as being the star car salesman selling 27 cars this month, right? They're the one that gets all the kudos, and they're the ones that get to wear the tie and do all the fun stuff. But if all those other things did not create, like you said, the water boy scenario is great. You know, all those things come into play. It really is it gets lost a lot, but it is a team. It has to be. None of us do it alone.
Absolutely. Well, and the other analogy I'll make is that of the torchbearer. You can have an awful lot of people on a level, pick a level, I don't care. Middle managers, let's use them. You got middle managers that all know what to do, and they all know how to do their job well. But if they don't have a torchbearer, if they don't have somebody carrying that torch in front of them saying, team, this is where we're going to go, all of us together, it's easy for them to kind of wander off and do their own thing. I didn't say this, when I got in the car business, I actually spent 18 years at Saturn. Lots and lots of team building kinds of stuff that we did over the years. One of the things that jumped out at me, and it was 5 years or so in, and it was a shared vision exercise. And so you take all your people out back to the parking lot, and you walk out and you say, okay, here, we're going to tie this to a tree. It was a bandana. We're going to tie this bandana to a tree. And the object is for everybody to touch the bandana. That's our shared vision. We're all working towards that. Okay. Yeah, I've seen that. I can get there. Except you take them back inside the building and you blindfold them all. And you say, now go find the shared vision. But everybody has to touch it before the exercise is over. What I watched, because I'd already been through it, so I was one of the facilitators. What I watched was three salespeople all find each other and said, everybody follow us. We're going to go find it. We know where it is. And they left, the three of them together. All the rest of the team, the rest of the salespeople, the office staff, the service staff, the parts staff, they all were standing there blindfolded. And these three guys left. I could tell you all their names right now. This was 30 years ago. I could tell you all of their names. And they all walked out, heading towards the shared vision. By the way, they went the wrong direction. The service team, however, kind of took charge and said, okay, first of all, we have to stick together. It's not like we can send out scouts for this. So the service team all stuck together, brought the parts and the rest of the salespeople and the office staff in. And they all talked about, okay, where are we? Well, we can feel the sun. So we know we need to, if we go that direction, we know we're going to go away from where we need to be. The three salespeople, no joke, they were 100 yards away. They were never going to find the shared vision because they weren't together.
Right.
But the rest of this team stayed together and they all got there. What they needed was that torchbearer. They needed somebody to say, look, I'm going to lead this and you're going to follow me, but we're going to go together. And I think that's where the torchbearer really comes into play.
It does. And I think torchbearers, would you say in your experience, nobody probably sets out, maybe some people do, but I think torchbearers become torchbearers probably because of upbringing, things that's happened to them, life, personalities, all those wrapped into one. I don't think you can just name, you can name somebody, but we've seen a lot of people that been named quote manager, whatever that title is. They have no qualifications for being that and probably no abilities to be that. But you're supposed to follow that person. But I think that's a learned and earned position more than it is a given. Would that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I've worked with lots and lots of managers, some of whom were good salespeople, some of whom were good service advisors or service people. A lot of them, though, you're never trained for your next step. All of a sudden, the next step is there, and you're like, "Well, yeah, I can do it." Mm-hmm. I spent a couple years out of the car business, but I was working for a forklift dealer. So selling forklifts is exactly like selling cars, but completely different. Because I promise you that nobody's spouse is going to wake up on Saturday morning and say, "Honey, today we get a new forklift."
you don't think?
They don't. I've tried. I've really tried. But one of the things that's really interesting about that business is that you have people that are, they have a need, obviously, but they don't really know what exactly they need. And so you go, okay, well, I guess you're going to be the manager now. Well, no, that's not where I need to be. So it's just, you know, and you, while I was doing that, I was training operators as well. One of the things about men and women when they operate forklifts, and I can say this because both one of my sons and my daughter are both forklift certified. Guys get on a forklift and like, I can drive this. No problem. They've never driven it before. It doesn't matter. We're guys. We can do it.
Right.
The women, on the other hand, are very cautious and they'll get on. They'll listen to all the training you gave them and they'll be better operators. Because they're more cautious up front. Once they're confident, confidence is there. My daughter is a much better operator than my son.
That makes sense. Yeah, that does make sense because that is the one of the it can lead to good things at times for us as guys. But the negative that we have is you're 100% right. We're just maybe it's ego, maybe it's whatever it is, maybe it's pound our chest as a guy, right? But I don't need to look at that. I don't need to listen to that. I can do that. It's a forklift. Women are much more typically, I would say, smarter than we are when it comes to that because they understand they know what they don't know. And we think we know everything. And they're willing to go, I don't know anything about this. So I'm going to learn. I'm going to find out. I'm going to study. And where we just go Katie bar the door and run the forklift off the ramp into the truck bay, right?
You know how many pieces of furniture from IKEA I've put together, taken apart, put together, taken apart, and put together in finally correctly when I grab the instructions?
It's amazing. They do make those for a reason, don't they? I'm really bad at that. I'm really bad at RTA with the not reading the part about don't tighten. There's a reason why they say don't tighten until you're done. Right. And I find that out after I've tightened about 15 pieces that I shouldn't have tightened, and then there's a reason. Step 16 that you shouldn't have done that, right? Oh yeah, I'm really good at that.
There was one, I think everybody had got this test at some point while they were in school. There's a list of 30 things. And the very first thing says, read everything before you do anything. And you know, people just start doing it. And all of a sudden you got somebody clucking like a chicken. because that's what it says in the middle, and you get all the way down to the bottom and it says don't do anything, put your pencil down, you're done.
There you go. Yep.
So you're always that kind of stuff.
Exactly. So another thought popped in my head, I made a note as we were talking, and talking from trying to be a motivator and inspiring people. I think about the and I fly a lot, and so much sometimes I think I could probably give the speech myself if they give me $20 off my ticket that they always give, you know, the flight attendants give. But
yeah,
I've always found the one where they talk about, you know, put your own oxygen mask on first. If in the unlikely event that we lose air cabin pressure, you know the story. And, you know, I know the first thought with people, if they don't fly much, is, well, why wouldn't you help your son or your daughter or your grandma or the lady next to you that first, right? Because that would be the right thing to do, you'd think. But the reason is very obvious. If you go unconscious, you can't help anybody, right? And I always think about that a lot because I think that's the same thing that comes into play with trying to live a bit of a positive life that maybe helps motivate some people is, and tell me where you see this. I think you have to motivate yourself or inspire yourself first. And you clicked on that. I know where you're coming because you already kind of enlightened us to that early on when you said that you don't always know. You just get up and it's something that pops in your head the night before. You find something that's motivational to you. And that's what you write about, right? And I think that's ultra super important that you have to inspire or motivate yourself first before you can do anything for anybody else. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. The quote that popped into my head as you were saying that was "Physician, heal thyself." You know, and I've used your analogy about putting your mask on first. I've used that a lot because you can't help anybody else,
right?
If you don't take care of yourself first, and that isn't some might say that's a very selfish thing to do. Well, I think that's the opposite of selfish.
Exactly.
I think it's an opportunity to, you know, to, if I want to help you, I've got to be sure that I'm going to be okay before I can help you.
Well, exactly. And using that analogy, and I'm glad that you know that one too, because I think it's so applicable. If I fall unconscious in 13 seconds, I can't help anybody. If I stay conscious, I might be able to help 10 people. Right. And that's the point. It's almost selfish to go the other way.
And I'm a big boy. And I sit on the aisle. If I go unconscious, good luck getting past me.
Nobody's getting out.
Yeah. Those two people are done for because you can't move me.
Well, you know, there's three things that I put that's in my phone every day that never go until maybe someday and I decide there's something else, but I've been in there for a year or two, maybe longer. And one of them is that 3 in the afternoon, there's nothing magical about 3 other than it was just a good place saver to put it. But it just says inspire. And that's just for me to remind myself that, have you done anything to inspire yourself today? And secondarily, I do want to try to inspire other people a little bit if I can, with a thought, a suggestion, an idea, or just, but if nothing else, just being and living a life that might tell you that you should try to inspire other people a little bit just by your actions. So, but I would put it in my phone because I don't want to ever forget one day to not, if I look at it and say, Randy, if you haven't done anything to get inspired today at all, you've been doing pretty humdrum life today. Take a minute and go read something. Go read what Chuck wrote. You know, something to inspire yourself. And that's one of the three things that I have in every single day because I think it's that important that you inspire yourself. Because I like I said, I love that. I knew we would be, but we're on the same page that you can't do anything to inspire or help anybody else if you don't get yourself there first.
Yeah, absolutely. I use the Falcons as my example for this because, well, the Falcons lose a lot. they've been in a couple of Super Bowls, didn't win either one. And I hearken back to my days. I played college soccer. And we'd play teams, and the Falcons play teams every week that I know that some of those guys are going, wow, I hope we don't lose too bad. Well, why bother suiting up?
Right.
You know, if you're, if, quote that's on my wall over here. My quote: if you're going to lose, lose big, lose early, get the subs in. Because some of those third string guys, they might do some magical stuff when they get the shot.
Right.
And you know, if you walk out on the field going, "Wow," you know, walk it. You can't walk into your month if you're selling anything. Wow, I hope I don't lose too much money this month.
Yes. Okay,
just stay home. You have to believe, first of all, yes, I can win. Whatever winning looks like. Maybe winning looks like you made it out of bed this morning.
Right.
Maybe winning looks like you got through the week without strangling somebody. Winning might mean, hey, I won the game.
Yes.
All those things are important. You know, one of the other things that I do, you've seen my daily quotes. I will also, mm-hmm. you'll see me do videos at times as well.
Right.
And that all came from my run for school board 6 years ago. Okay. I would travel around to the different schools in my district and just shoot quick 1 minute videos from each school. I'd say something positive about the school and then I'd say, come vote for me. I didn't win, by the way. But I learned a lot. And so I'll do 1 minute. You say, Chuck, I want, you know, let's talk about this kind of motivation. Give me a minute. I got it. And it's usually one take, but I start them all the same way and I end them all the same way. Hey, it's your old buddy Chuck. Every time.
Yep.
That's just how I start. The other thing that you've seen, you might wonder about, is on the tail end of my quotes that I post, I put the hashtag "You are essential."
Yes.
Here's where that came from. That came from COVID.
Okay.
So when COVID was getting ramped up, I was working for an automotive floor plan company. We did inventory financing for independent car dealers. And at one point, I'm going to say probably in end of February, 1st of March, we started hearing, look, if you're not an essential worker, you're supposed to stay home. Or if you are, and even better, if you're not an essential worker, stay off the road. Traffic was fantastic during COVID. It was great.
Yes.
I never want to be there again, but traffic was fantastic. And I'm like, hold on. Because I became a non-essential worker, got furloughed in the midst of all that. If I'm not essential, what am I? And so I started adding that hashtag, and still do it today. Because it's just one of those things that even if you've seen my post 100 times or 1,000 times, I want you to see that and go, okay, yes, I am.
Yes.
Because you are.
Well, you are. And I love that, Chuck, because then you, and what you brought up about the whole COVID thing, that was one that I hated that term, because Billy Bob going to work at the feed mill, while may not seem essential to some, apparently, it's pretty essential to his family, right? It's pretty essential to his livelihood and to his kids being able to have some clothes and to whatever else. And to me, what a demeaning terminology to say, well, your job is essential and yours is not. Every single job out there in every single organization is essential. We talked about it already. The water boy is essential. This one that gets forgotten about, and I'm a big, more of a college football fan. Go Blue, even though my Wolverines are. We're just going to live off the defending national champion.
Hold on. See, now you got to stop.
Oh.
Now you went.
Oh, God, here we go. I did it, didn't I?
I'm not going to talk ill of that state of North.
You're not?
I'm a Buckeye through and through.
All right.
There you go.
Hey, Wes.
Thanks, Wes.
Pull the plug. This is not good. This is not good.
Hey, listen,
unbelievable.
I'll tell you what. I've done this one time in my life. I worked for a guy who was from Michigan, and I said "Go Blue" once. So I'm sorry, everybody.
You said the word.
I said "Go Blue," and I'm sorry. I'm just being transparent with you.
But Chuck, you know how good it felt deep down. You know it felt good. You don't
feel good. I got a rash right here that's still gone.
Well, all I know is I was despairing over the fact that we are not doing so good this year with a fellow Go Blue buddy of mine. And he says, yeah, but we still got several months yet to be defending champions. So I said, that's true. I'm going to live that one up. You know, absolutely. you still Saturday are going to play the defending national champions. That's all I got left now, but it's still good to have. And you know what? I'd rather be defending national champions than never to have been national champions at all. Right. It's
absolutely.
Cause anyways, but with that, I was going with that earlier. You talked about the water boy, and one of the most forgotten, I guess I would call them, I would think in the hierarchy of college football, maybe middle to upper middle management positions, maybe. I don't know if I'm right with this, but is the strength coach, right? Half the time, nobody knows who the strength coaches are. Probably one of the most valuable coaches on that staff. Nobody celebrates them. Nobody has them come and do speeches. Nobody, you know, interviews them. But that, you got to talk about essential. And a game... You don't win, going back to my beloved Blue for a minute, you don't win a national title without having your players in massive. You can have all the talents you want, and they can be smart and cerebral and understand the plays, and you call all the right offense, you call all the right defense. But if you got no gas left in the fourth quarter and you're in a tough game against the Bulldogs or the Bucks or pick a name, right? Not all that's for naught, if you will, right? But yet that... Everybody knows the Jim Harbaugh, but I'll be honest with you right now. Last year, I've already forgot who our strength coach was, and I'm a big fan. And that's an unfortunate, because that is a very essential part, right, of the program. So
yeah, absolutely.
Key there, Chuck, is don't forget the essentials.
That's exactly right. One of the things I'll remind you of, and I know you remember this, I think your coach was gone for a few games, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
And
go ahead.
How'd you do? How'd the team do?
We kept right on going. Look,
coach, the head coach is important. Is he more important than the water boy? Is he more important than the strength coach? Is he more important than the offensive lineman? Well, no, he's part of the team. But any good team is going to say,
all important.
We don't have that person right now. We can say, okay, it's over. We've lost. But that's not the case. There's always a college game where somebody who's integral, somebody who's essential, gets hurt, and somebody comes in to fill in for them, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden has the game of their life.
Exactly, and. So, and you take with that, a great example last year, Chuck, was when Sherrone Moore had to come in and take over when Jim was off, they never missed a beat. They kept right on winning because all the things were in place. And you know, you still had the offensive and the defensive coordinator, you still had the position coaches, the players still knew what they're supposed to do. It wasn't like just because he was gone for a few games, it's just we imploded and went away, right? And I think that's key to build a good team. You always build the strong, good people above you, around you, at your same level, from the hierarchy, if you will. And remember, everybody's essential. So I love that. I love that hashtag, you're essential. That's a great hashtag. So, Chuck, I appreciate you. I know you've been very good with your time, and I appreciate it. Give us some words of wisdom. What's one of your favorite quotes you've ever used? What would you like everybody to remember about Chuck, the car Studebaker?
I got this one a long time ago from a guy. If you don't ask, you don't get. This ring right here has been on my hand for 31 years. I promise you, she was not tripping over herself to go out with me. I had to ask.
Which is most of our lives, right?
Right. Yes. I had to ask multiple times. Back then it was called persistence. Today it's called stalking. But, you know, I really don't have one that I say, okay, that's my quote, because they're all mine. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that I'll pull them out every now and then when I need them, and I'll go, oh, that's a good one. I got to say that one again. But I think that I think you show up, just show up, just be there. Whether it's at work or at school or whatever, just show up.
Show up. It's so important. And I'll leave you this one, that a quote that we've all heard the different versions of the old, I don't even like it, but the fake it till you make it. Right.
Right.
And I put one out the other day and I really believe that, which is be it until you see it, you know, just be right. And you can shorten that up to just simply be, just be every day, just be whatever it is you're supposed to do. You want to do, you think you're going to do, you think you can do, right. Just become it, even if you're not there yet. And sooner or later, you'll see it. And exactly. I like the positive nature. It probably means the same thing, but.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things, I look at the different quotes and things that I've done, and it's crazy sometimes. I start scrolling through, I'm like, wow, I did all of that. I did that. Oh, that's ridiculous. What was I thinking when I did that? Anyway. You know, you just kind of look through all of them. Today's quote was, someone needs you to not give up on them.
Yeah.
That's what somebody needs you today, not give up on them. And, you know, and again, some of them.
Spot on and profound.
Some of them are a little more cerebral than others. And some of them are, you know, just being positive. And that's what I'm going to be.
Yeah. There you go. I love it. That's why you're known as Chuck the Great, right?
I'll take it.
Well, you claimed it. I was going to use it for myself, but the problem is I'm not great and I'm not Chuck. So, I mean, that's two strikes, and I don't want to have three strikes. I want to live on for a while. So you can have it. It's all yours.
Thanks, Randy.
Well, Chuck, appreciate you being on, my friend. Keep sharing that positivity, and I'll keep on watching it, reading it, sharing it, and loving it, and telling people about it. And, hey, stay in touch, man.
I appreciate you having me on. Next time you're in the ATL, let me know.
I'll do it. I would love to do that. That'd be great.
And when you fly through the airport, please spend some money. We need the taxes.
Well, I always manage to. Unfortunately, I try to spend as little time through there as I can, just because I don't like to be in airports. But I go through Atlanta several times a month. So.
I saw your post. Was it yesterday or the day before that your top five favorite airports? I noticed that our airport wasn't one of them.
Well, no,
I don't disagree with you. I'm with you 100%. I agree.
It's one of my top that I go through. And that was not just for anybody that loves ATL. That was not a slight on ATL. I was just being brutally honest. The other ones have, I'll tell you, My home airport is Fort Myers, Florida, because that's where I live most of my life. I live in Michigan part of the year, and I fly in and out of Detroit a lot. And Detroit's a great airport. Now the new airport, it's not new anymore, but great airport. Probably if I really wasn't for the fact that I picked my two of my ones that are in and out a lot, and so they become sort of favorite. I love Nashville. I think Nashville's a cool airport, and I have my little spots there that I like to sit and listen to music and wait for a flight. And those are the things I look at. ATL, I try to get my walking in every day, because it always seems like I guarantee you that I forget right now, but I'm always going to come into T and leave at, way the other end. It's like 17 and a half miles down, But if I got time, I walk it, because what else are you gonna do? I mean,
exactly. You might as well, because otherwise you're just gonna eat varsity dogs, and you probably ought to just walk.
Probably just walk. That'd be better. All right, Chuck. Appreciate it, my friend. Keep that positivity coming, brother.
Thanks, Randy. Have a great day.
All right, buddy. Yeah, you got it. Cheers.
Thanks.
All right. If you don't follow Chuck Studebaker, follow Chuck. You really, seriously, just a cool dude, Chuck the Great, and. I've never met him before in person, but we've followed each other, and I follow what he does. And I, you know me, I love good motivational stuff, good inspirational stuff. And he comes up with some great stuff. So anyway, that's enough for that. Follow Chuck. Follow Chuck the Great. And go out, love what you do, do what you love, and live it, love it, own it, and go make today your best day ever. You know, till tomorrow. Then we'll make it better again. Let's go.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live. You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.